We are reading in the letter of Apostle Paul to the Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, you stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful word that you have given us. We thank you for the Bible, which is the bread of life for us every day, so that we may nourish our souls and see your truth. Thank you that your word is the light on our path and to our feet, so that we may not walk in darkness, but walk in the light of your word. Bless this word for our souls, and help us to put on the whole armor of God, because we know that our fight is not against blood and flesh, but against the evil one. So give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom so that we might stand fast and firm and be more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. We ask this in his precious name. Amen.
Thank you. This morning in our adult class, we've been talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we shared some of our experiences, some of the things that we go through daily. And we said that if the Holy Spirit is not there, we won't be able to go through and have victory. Even though many preach and teach and believe that Christian life and journey, the Christian life and journey is easy, pleasant, and a pleasant one, the Bible teaches that the Christian life is one of constant conflict. And again, this pulpit won't be a place where you come to be filled with a lot of positive thinking, because positive thinking alone will not help you fight the good fight and finish the course and come to the end of the journey, your journey, and say, I've kept my faith with God's grace and help. Because positive thinking only helps you for a moment, and when the circumstances and things are possible to deal with. But when the enemy, the devil, comes, he won't come with little attacks. He will come where it hurts and attack where it hurts, where you are vulnerable. And we all have to be protected. The true believer is locked in a conflict with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and his angels. The battle is against demonic powers. The dedicated Christian can have victory by using the special equipment Christ has provided. And two of our hymns were describing and explaining this armor, this panoply, if you wish, of the believer. Last Sunday we looked at two or three of those pieces of armor. We looked at the belt of truth. And unless you have the truth, you cannot fight a battle. As a Christian, if you don't know what the truth is, the truth will not set you free from all the pressures and attacks. But if you have the truth, that comes from God, not from Temple Baptist Church necessarily, or the doctrines that someone gave us, not from the Protestant Church, not the Catholic Church, we said, not the Greek Orthodox Church, but those instructions and the truth that comes from God directly. And His words are in the Bible. This morning we have a young lady with us whose co-worker gave her a Bible. And she picked up that Bible and started reading it. And not even a few months later, she was convicted of something, and with tears, she invited Christ in her life. This is the book that has the words of God. And only the words of God can set us free. So the belt is the truth, we said. And then, of course, you have the breastplate, if you wish, that protects your chest and protects your heart and your lungs, and it's so necessary. That is why policemen and officers and the SWAT team are dressed so well. They have those bulletproof vests and all this equipment to protect them from the enemy. And we as believers must have it. And then we said we must always be ready, have on our shoes, spiritual shoes, to bring the good news to someone or to run away from evil if you wish. And we should be equipped. The Greek mythology has the story of Achilles. And he was protected everywhere except his heel. That's where the saying, the Achilles heel. We must be well equipped, covered. We are equipped to win, but we must use the armor of God. In Ephesians 13 says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Not to fall, but to stand. In part one of this message, we looked at the armor and the three pieces of that armor. Once again, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted to bring the gospel of peace. But with only three pieces of equipment, a Christian would be only half dressed for battle. He or she needs the rest of the armor, the shield of faith. The Greek word is aspida. And that was a large Roman shield. It wasn't only a little shield like that. It was a full... And sometimes in the movies you see them. It started from the bottom to almost covering your eyes, close to your eyes. And that was a shield to put out the flaming darts that came toward them. There are two things we see here. First, that we are under attack by flaming arrows of evil. Arrows are thoughts, acts, doubts. It's not only someone coming and attacking you and say, "Oh, there is no God, you're not a Christian." These are very obvious things, but there are all kinds of attacks. This morning, again, in the adult class, a young man said, What happens, or have you ever experience this? You're reading the Bible and you come to a place and that place just does something to you and you want to close the Bible and walk away from it. That's true, and that is the Holy Spirit working in you and telling you, you are guilty. Just like the prophet came to David and said, You know, David, there was a man, a rich man, and gave him the whole story just to have him convicted. And he said, at the end, the prophet said, that is you, David. And he was convicted, and he repented from his sin. And he asked God to forgive him. That faith is the most important part of the armor. The shield of faith is the most important piece to protect yourself from the flaming arrows of the devil. In addition, in verse 16 we read, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Faith is our spiritual shield. Satan is the source of unbelief and doubt. His favorite weapon is doubt. He actually started his dirty work at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve when he said to her, did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Actually, that's what is happening today. And every time someone has a different doctrine, different theology, a different belief, a different perspective or point of view, they will use a verse and says that, and say that is what the Bible says, but the Bible does not say, unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you and unless you compare it in the Word, in the whole picture of the Word of God, you cannot take one verse out of context and use it to start a denomination or a cult or a doctrine, and people have been doing that. The Bible says that faith is what overcomes. And that is found in 1 John 5:4. As a believer puts the shield of faith in front of him, the flaming arrows of unbelief and doubt are kept away. I believe the worst flaming arrow is the doubt. And all the devil does is comes and just throws a little seed of doubt. And that doubt missed, if that doubt finds a good soil, good ground, and if you start catering to that doubt, and if you start sort of half believing and paying attention to that doubt, that will destroy you eventually. You say, well, what are you telling me, to be narrow-minded and just to accept whatever my mom and dad told me or whatever you're telling God and not to doubt it? No, I'm not saying that. Doubt everything that is not in the Bible. Don't accept everything that anyone will tell you unless you compare it. You bring it in the light of the Bible and ask God to help you see whether that is the truth or it's a deviation from the truth. Faith can overcome every attack of the enemy. Flaming arrows of pride, envy, worry, fear, lust are the ones we fight against. Number two is, first was the shield of faith. Then we have the helmet of salvation. There is a law in Quebec and in most countries and in the rest of Canada, I believe, that you should wear a helmet when you ride your bike or motorcycle or whatever. And a lot of people have been doing it. Many are not doing it. And the police keep saying that unless you have your helmet, you're not well protected. And there are accidents where the person that had an accident survived because that person was wearing that helmet. And unless you have a helmet, you are very vulnerable to the accident or the attacks that come your way. That's how a believer is. Without the helmet of the assurance of our salvation, we are under attack all the time. The helmet of salvation here refers to the assurance of salvation and the return of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. The believer whose mind is fixed on Christ will not fall into Satan's traps. Why am I saying that? Because the believer who has set his mind on religion, the man who has set, or woman who has set his or her mind on doctrine, the man or a woman who has set his or her mind on philosophy or philosophical doctrines or religious activities and cultural activities, is not equipped really and protected from the untruth and the attacks of the devil. The blessed hope must be like a helmet to protect the mind and soul of the believer. Consider Paul's assurance in 2 Timothy 1:12. He says, "Because I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he will keep safely what I have committed unto him." You know what? God is able to keep you from fall. God is able to protect you. God, the helmet and the armor that he has given you to wear is for your protection. And there are all kinds of doctrines, obviously, thrown here and there, debating this and debating that, and questioning this and questioning that, and arguing with one and the other, and doctrines have been growing, trying to convince others, no, you're wrong. That what are you? Are you red or black or white? Or I don't want to give names of doctrine. But the truth of the matter is that the moment a brother this morning gave the example of a child, when a child is born, has to grow. And there's the process of growth. And the Christian who is not growing, who is not persevering, who is not following Christ, he is either staying idle or has turned back. I don't know what you want to make out of that, but all I'm saying is if you're not focusing on Jesus, if you don't have the helmet of your and the assurance of your salvation, then what do you have? If you don't believe you are saved and you don't have that assurance as a helmet to protect you, then you'll always be doubting your faith. Moody said, "I never knew a person who was effective in the Lord's service who did not have the assurance of his or her salvation." And the assurance of salvation means this. Very simply means that I know that God has forgiven me. I know that God is willing to forget my past and just wipe away, erase my past, and help me now continue my journey on this earth as a new person. Jesus called that new birth, being born again. And I believe that because Jesus has washed my sins away, and because I believe that he's able to help me walk this journey, I will, when I die, I'll be in his presence. I believe and I have the assurance of my salvation. It's not, I hope so. I believe so. There are many Christians, millions of Christians who are, that when you talk to them and ask them about their future in eternity, they will say, well, I don't know, only God knows. I hope so. I'm doing all kinds of mitzvahs, good works, you know, and helping others. But I don't know. Only, no, the Bible says you can know for sure that you are a born-again believer, that you are a member of the family of God, and you must have that assurance. Now, as a member of the family of God, you have certain responsibilities. You have certain things to follow. You must persevere in your faith. Well, people disagree with that. Well, I'm not here to agree or disagree with doctrines. All I'm doing this morning is saying what the Bible says. These pieces of armor are for the believer's protection, but we also need the effective weapon in the armor. There are defensive weapons, and there are defensive and offensive weapons. Well, the next one is the sword of the Spirit. Verse 17. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the Christian must fight spiritual enemies with spiritual weapons. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, we read, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." A lot of times you may feel, who am I to argue and defend God? Don't defend God. Don't protect God. God can do it for himself. But what you must do is reflect God in your life. And I believe the best witness and the best argument is the change in your life, the way you walk, the way you live, the way you respond to things, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, if you wish. You need to be able to say to others that there is God. And there is God because He is in me and through me has touched many lives. And He has brought me joy and happiness and peace and understanding and hope. The Word of God is the only sword we need. God's Word has life and power. In Hebrews 4:12 we read, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The believer goes from victory to victory as he understands and memorizes and obeys the Word of God. Every Sunday morning at the Sunday school opening, we have people who are learning verses. And those verses have become part of their joy. As a matter of fact, this morning a couple of young teenagers said, "I would like to say all 10 or 8 verses." And they were able to do it. And I'm looking at them and I'm saying, what a blessed picture this is to have young kids, teenagers, interested in the Word of God, and not only just look at them but remember them, not only remember them for one day but after a week when you ask them, after 10 days when you ask them, to be able to tell you what the Word of God is. And then we have Christians, millions of Christians who have Bibles, maybe 10 different Bibles, maybe different versions, maybe different translations, and not ever read the Bible, and then they complain that they are weak and they have lost their joy and peace. This was the weapon Jesus used against Satan when Satan came to tempt him. Every time Satan tried to tempt him, Jesus quoted the scriptures and he said, "It is written." Jesus said to him the first time, "It is also written," said Jesus for the second time. The third time Satan attacked Jesus, used the sword against again, and he said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written." And again, the Word of God is like a sword, two-edged sword. The power of God's Word over the enemy brings victory. And finally, we read this morning the power of the Spirit. The armor and the weapon are not sufficient to win a battle. There must be energy in the soldier. A dead or weak soldier cannot fight in battle. He needs strength, energy. This energy comes from prayer. We use the sword of the Spirit and we pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the energy, the power we need to win a battle. The best picture that comes to mind is the Valley of Dry Bones. You remember that historical fact, or at least that vision that the prophet saw. There was a huge valley. There were a lot of bones scattered all over the place. And they were obviously useless, dry bones. And God made His miracle. And He, through the prophet, these bones started coming up in his vision. And these bones started making a skeleton. And the skeleton looked like a man's skeleton. And then there were a lot of skeletons. And there were hundreds and thousands of skeletons. And then they were ready to march. And then you can put any armor you want on these skeletons. And you can even put some flesh on them. They are still skeletons covered with flesh. And then you put an armor, still a skeleton with some flesh and an armor on them. But unless there is life, unless there is a breath, they will be just skeletons, just dead soldiers. And I always use the example of power. You may have the prettiest computer. You may have the most powerful amplifier. You may have the best washing machine. You may have the best whatever. You may have the best metro train. And unless there is power, all these things are dead. And I believe the same thing is with a Christian who has the helmet of faith. He has the belt, and then he has the sword, and then he has the shield. And it's look for decoration. You put him at the corner and you look at him and you say, boy, the Romans had good soldiers. And a lot of Christians are like that, like statues. But I believe the Bible says we need the power of God. And we need the Holy Spirit to come in and make us start walking. And then we can fight our battles. Or else we are just miserable looking Christians who go to church and then look at the time, oh boy, he's talking. And then Tuesday he wants me to come. You know what? Nothing works. You may throw the biggest party, and unless there is life in the heart, in the soul, that Christian is going to be as miserable as he is at home alone, as he is among 2,000 holy preaching and dancing, unless there is the Spirit of God inside. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll be like Peter, who in prison, he was singing praises to God. I believe the armor is to fight a battle, not to sit down and be protected. A lot of Christians have this armor on and they sit home and they just hope that the arrows won't hit them. Christian, as someone who has volunteered, not enlisted, volunteer to be a member of the army of God, and so he needs protection. The word of God and prayer are the weapons or resources God has given us to overcome the enemy. The Christian believer must watch and pray. Jesus said to his disciples, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Why did he say watch and pray? Because he is always active. The enemy is always active. You've got to watch and pray, not just to take it easy. And I know it sounds a negative message to say that, you know, I'm not doing anything, I should do more. No, it's not. It's like when you, I don't know how many of you remember married people, when you fell in love with your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend, all you could think was, am I speaking from experience? Maybe. But the thing is, all you do is think of that girl. You think of that man and the union it's going to take place. Or to be close to that person. And then things, you know, when you get married may not be as exciting as before. So that's why we husbands and wives must watch out. Be careful that the devil won't attack us and say, give it up. We got to fight the good fight and continue that wonderful relationship that God gave us. How do you fight your battles? Do you have and use the full armor of God for protection? Do you have and use the spiritual weapons, the Word of God, which is the Word of God, to fight the spiritual enemies? My last words will be, use them and have victory over Satan. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for equipping us. Thank you, Lord, for providing all the right equipment and the strength and the power and the life and the spirit we need to fight the good fight. But Lord, we are in a fierce battle with the enemy, with the flesh, with our thoughts, in our family, at school, at work. And we really need your strength and your power and your protection. Please be with us and strengthen us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.